Jerry?
No, I'm not ready yet. I've got a couple of questions. That scared me. What scared me the most was their fees. What was the agreement with Fund 3? What was the fees for Fund 3? Was it the same structure?
Same structure.
Yeah. So and it's 85 basis points of committed. It's not invested. It's committed.
Correct.
So they're going to start collecting on the $50 million as soon as we give it.
Correct.
So that's 400 and some thousand.
And they don't invest it. They may not start investing it for 2 to 3 years.
They're going to start investing it. They're going to start committing to underlying general partners from day one. It's going to take them about 3 years to get through their commitment cycle. Then those underlying general partners are going to go through their deployment cycle. So when that marginal dollar gets deployed, could be a couple years out. And so you're going to see this. It's going to be accretive. But you're going to see dribs and drabs, and it's going to be dribbling out over about 5 years, and then the money starts coming back in.
It sounded like in response to Brian's question, I'm not trying to step
no, that's all right. I'm done.
On this point, that it was a great question. It was about the committed capital fee question. So I was hearing from them that, yes, that's the way it is. You got to have patience. And oh, by the way, most of the underlying funds are going to be structured similarly. Some aren't, but many are.
Yeah.
So there's this premium. It's just part of the gig. If you saw how uncertain the timeline was for understanding when the mining price was going to tip, right, go do something else. It struck me that that's part of the drag. That's part of the cost. I don't know.
So, I mean, we always prefer fees on invested capital, always. It's difficult to get to those terms. You have to have kind of alignment of the opportunity set, of the manager's thesis. And really, we get to invested capital when there's a very customized strategy or when there's a lot of high degree of uncertainty about when and how capital is going to be deployed. When we're partnering with a private equity firm that has more of a, call it a long-term strategic deployment model, there's a relatively high degree of certainty about when and how the money is going to be deployed. And there we see committed capital still being the standard. At that point, we look at the level of the fees on committed capital. We were always trying to push these down and drive alignment of interest as much as possible. While the fees are high in an absolute sense, we're not going to say that we're paying low fees here. We're paying high fees relative to what some other things are. It's low relative to their peers, and that was one of the things that's attractive. So we can access the unique opportunity set via a low cost within their peer group.
What's a peer group run? The 100?
100 to 100 and I think we saw...
I think 150 to 175 was at the higher end.
Yeah.
The other thing with Aether is, that's the management fee side, obviously. The carried interest is much lower than peers on the natural resource side. A 5% for carried interest is abnormally low.
Can I ask a couple of questions? If past is not necessarily a prologue, I get it, but the performance as of June 30, I realize it's just a stake in the ground at that point, on the surplus, era 3 surplus, is greater than era 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Why wouldn't we wait for era 4 surplus, which might have, I realize that's a real guess, better performance, but also does have lower fees? It's on the same basis, but it's another 15 basis points. I guess timing is going to be the answer. We'll miss some great opportunity, but why wouldn't we wait?
Area 4 is going to be their bread and butter. And I always want to caution the board, when we start tweaking away from somebody's bread and butter, we need to be cognizant of where our incentives are aligned and where they're not. I think there's a high degree of alignment here, and I'm comfortable talking about 4 surplus. But 4 is going to be their bread and butter. And so if we want the purest expression of what Aether believes, you know, we're buying their judgment, we're buying their expertise, right? The purest expression of that will be in ARA 4. There'll be a couple smaller funds that get dropped and don't make it in the surplus fund. So I guess we look at this and say, this to us feels like a balancing act. I wouldn't necessarily want to go to 100% into the surplus fund because we're not going to get that purest expression or access to some of the smaller funds, which quite frankly is what we're paying Aether a management fee for, is to source those smaller deals for us that we can't do directly.
The parallel may not be entirely appropriate, but if you had had the same argument that ERA 3 was their bread and butter and not ERA 3 surplus,
yeah.
ERA 3 surplus is showing a greater IRR
currently
than their bread and butter.
It's very, very early. It's very early to the point where I would argue those are not meaningful measures at this point. We haven't had distributions. It's all on a temporary mark-to-market basis. And remember, we're dealing with volatile commodity markets at the backing these. Until we actually get distributions and cash back, I'm not going to measure the success of ERA 3 or 3 surplus. Recall that this board was very much engaged in a deployment exercise of trying to buy exposure to this market. And at the time, we could only get $25 million of exposure to ERA 3. So the surplus fund really came out of the idea of, you can give us 25, but we're really interested in this bigger dollar amount. And then Aether came back and said, well, let's talk about if we drop off some of our most constrained funds, we think we can get you another $50 million in allocation over here. I said, sure, makes perfect sense. And we're okay with that, you know, engaging in that conversation about where we want the money deployed. The reason we asked for discretion on where to deploy into the main fund and the surplus fund is, quite frankly, we don't know how the surplus fund is going to develop. If we are the only ones who express interest in the surplus fund, well, we pay 100% of the legal costs, the audit costs, the fund administration costs, and that eats into the overall net returns. If another large investor says, well, you know, we want to put up $75 million into the surplus fund as well, and we can share those costs, well, then that net return starts to get more attractive there. But it is dependent upon the interest of others as to what that net return might be. So there is a little bit of this dynamism here of, we need some guidance from Aether about how other limited partners want to interact with them to determine what the best possible net return for Cicero is going to be at the end of the day.
How many LPs do they have in ERA 3 surplus?
Three?
Four.
Four.
Four? Only four. Okay.
But the reason they're in the surplus fund is they're the larger limited partners that had the same issue we had, where they wanted more capacity than was available in their main fund. So those larger LPs, really the surplus fund will be predicated on whether or not they're coming back and if they have other larger LPs in the wings.
Okay, thanks.
I think your department would only bring us something you thought was good. I think because the other day with Safeway, with my disco, they paid $2.23 a gallon for gas, so if I was paying $4 or $5, I'd probably be more excited about it. But that makes any sense. It's just like, it seems the volatility is something I'm not quite as comfortable, but again, I know you'd only bring this if you thought it was going to be good.
Welcome to my world. All right. I'm sorry.
I do have some reservation that we're looking in ERA 3, we're 25% invested, right? Or called, right? Only 25% of our committed capital has actually been put to work. Am I reading that correctly?
That is correct. The underlying Aether has done their work in committing to the underlying partnerships. Mm-hmm. The underlying partnerships have called capital via Aether to us, to the tune of 20%.
Which in the previous discussion makes sense why we moved to 100%, and that this is probably the reason, right? I've got reservation when we're paying fees and our money's not getting put to work, no matter where it is. So we're only, after 2 years, we're 25% in this fund. And something that he said stuck in my mind when he said, well, the funds have to keep raising new funds because they have to keep paying to keep the lights on. And so...
Does that sound like a Ponzi scheme to you?
Well, so it almost sort of, you could sort of translate that comment of his about his underlying funds to, you know, I guess it's just a question, not an accusation, but, you know, the question is are they raising another fund to continue to collect the commitment fees to keep things going? Because it doesn't seem to me that I heard any great opportunities out there, other than possibly might be a really good entry point into oil and gas, but who knows? It sounded to me like mining and metals is a ways off. I think I heard a 2 years possibly before we may hit a low. So those things are some things to consider carefully, I guess. One other question, though. With respect to what we're going to go through next week with our investment managers, and we're going to be looking at our investment policy and potentially some changes to the program, some substantial changes, does this continued investment in these types of vehicles still, do you see that it's still going to fall within what our current plan is going to be?
Yeah, so the board should be aware that we've brought back a number of private equity type structures over the past couple of months. We've been in contact with Ferris and said, directionally, where do we think your guidance is going to take us? Would we be upsizing these asset classes or downsizing these asset classes? And Ferris has said, we don't know what the outcomes will be. We're hard pressed to see any reduction in private equity in real assets. And so that's why we've been continuing to bring things back to you. We have not upsized our allocations in anticipation of what the board might do or what Ferris might recommend, but we're saying, based upon what we know today of our budget and the guidance from Ferris directionally and where they expect the recommendations to take them, we're in a safe zone here to deploy capital in today's market.
Okay. I'd make the motion to follow the recommendation that we make a commitment of $50 million to Aether Real Assets for strategy pending successful due diligence and legal review, and given our staff leeway with regards to either the primary fund or the surplus fund.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, further discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So, unanimously in favor. Okay.
With apprehension.
Unanimous, if not enthusiastic.
Yeah, I say unanimously, reluctantly, we're putting a lot of trust in you.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.